Hey, what's up? Welcome to Mom Said. My name is Gabe Gibbs.
And you never know my name.
Her name is Allie Gibbs. This is a podcast made by siblings, three adult siblings, but it's not about that.
But it's not about that.
It's often about that. In fact, it's always
about that.
About that. This week we talk about Denmark got rid of their postal service. They're not doing well, they're phasing it out.
Yeah.
But they got rid of their postal service.
They're not quitting cold turkey.
Not just going to stop. There's not a
we talked a lot about my trip to New York and the strong martini I had.
Strong martini you
and
had.
The pigeons I encountered.
We talk,
so get ready for that. It's really exciting.
We do talk about, what would you wish to have fall from the sky? We talk about a lot of things. It's a really fun episode.
Hang out with us.
Come, hey.
Come hang out with us.
Kick your feet up.
Make a podcast back toward us so we can listen to about your week.
Yeah, send us a podcast that you made so we can catch up on your week. Yeah, this is basically Allie and I catching up. Grant, I feel like I've been texting this week, but Allie and I hadn't talked.
I would never text you.
In like 10 days.
I hope you enjoy the episode. Hit
Bye.
It, Grant.
I hate to ask this, but is that from Michael Jackson or is that from a Goofy movie?
They are kind of, what a great way. I'm kind of singing like Michael, but it's
a Goofy movie, right?
Yeah, and the singer guy is, and we love him. And hey, shout out to that singer guy who sang it. Everybody reach out in the comments. We love you. Singer guy who did the song from a Goofy movie. We got wow, so much reverb. I felt like I was transported.
Someone DM'd me and was like, I have to know, is Grant doing that reverb on the spot or is he putting it in post? And I was like, girls. Well, they were being impressed. They were being impressed with your improvisational audio engineering.
Shout out anyone who cares about that. Anyone who cares about your audio engineering? Bruh, you're like you're a real DJ on the board.
We didn't talk about what we were going to talk about before this episode.
I got some thoughts.
Okay.
Do you want to know what I learned about this week that I thought was interesting?
Yeah. I just need a second to shake the fact that I just threw the biggest fit I've thrown in a long time about a hotel I have to stay at for work.
We were there.
No, I know it's not news to you, I'm just like, if you feel a stank in my vibe, I'm just throwing it. And I know it sounds like I'm being a brat, but if you only knew,
do you need to let the girlies know about, do you think maybe there are other people out there who feel like you feel sometimes at work?
Some hotels have the ugliest furniture I've ever seen. Frankly, I don't want to be near it. Some hotels have that shiny covering on their furniture with all the circles from the early 2000s. And I'm sensitive. And I'm extremely busy. And I'm gonna get distracted by the ugly hotel furniture. Shout out Hyatt, I'm sorry, but your furniture's bad.
I was in New York all last week and I walked past a hotel that was clearly getting rid of a ton of furniture. And so they had put like a thousand ottomans on the side of the road. Cause you know, New York, you're all up in everybody's trash. You're basically walking through everybody's trash.
New York is, love that city. New York. You're stepping over trash. We didn't do a good job infrastructurally in that city.
Well, I think you're just like in it. Everybody's in it. And that's the whole, that's why it's beautiful. Anyway, tons of ottomans. And I was like, oh, this would be cool if you were like first moving to New York and it's like a free ottoman. And then I was like, you couldn't pay me to have this fabric in my home.
Oh, I'm not even worried about the fabric, bro. Cover that up. Slip cover. I'm not worried about the fabric. I'm worried about the activities for decades in a hotel
that
room
have happened on that ottoman.
Is horrible.
Ew. You can't say that. You can't say that. This is going to be a huge.
That's what those are for in the hotel.
It's going to be a huge. It's going to be a huge. Those of you.
That's the title of the episode.
No, it's not. No, it's absolutely
those of
not.
You, those of you who are listening, what you will have just heard is Allie and I saying something about activities on an ottoman in a hotel. And then you will have just heard food. You will just have heard, oh, yeah, so many activities over decades. And then Grant will pick up his microphone. You'll see it on Grant Cam, and you'll just hear. And I just want you all to know that if you're listening at home or
watching. You're
welcome
for bleeping that out.
Thank God we did that.
Yeah, thank God this isn't live.
It's not a swear word.
I know.
Yeah, I wish it was.
It is kind of spelled like one. Anyway, moving along. Ottomans would have been nice. It was raining like manna from heaven. Ottomans from Hyatt.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, there is a certain era of hotel furniture that has this, like, shiny synthetic fabric with all the circles all over it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I totally know what you mean.
Can't think of anything worse.
It was also the same in, like, dentist waiting rooms.
Yeah.
Whoever was manufacturing, they were killing it in 2007.
And it's not a printed fabric. It's woven into the fabric, yes. This pattern.
Yes.
And so someone was being really intentional about it. And that's the part that really gets my goat, is like, you could have done anything, but you chose to do the worst fabric I've...
Hey, guys, come look. I've been at the sewing machine for days. Hey, guys, come look. I've been at the sewing machine for years, and I think I've cracked the code. Yeah, I think I've found the perfect fabric. Yeah, yeah. I take a yellow that you've never seen before. Make the whole chair look like that. Then I take a circle that's silver for some reason and put like six of them on there. And then I take a red piece of ribbon and run it through the circle, through the circle.
It's like a coffee mug was set on the fabric.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Hey, you want to know something interesting that I
learned
this week?
I'm going to get over it.
I get it. Something I learned that was interesting.
Gabe, tell us what you learned.
Thank you so much. I learned this week that Denmark is shutting down their postal service. Like, flat out, no more snail mail.
Wait.
Isn't that interesting?
What about items?
Packages. Packages.
Oh, what about an individual who needs to send an item to an individual?
Packages.
But no letters?
I didn't do my research.
What about...
This isn't like a research podcast.
Yes,
this
it is. Like, we claim repeatedly that it is.
This is like I come in and I go, hey, here's this topic. What's our thoughts?
What you gave back to me was
package.
What about romance?
Yeah. Grant?
Say it's like their USPS. Or, yeah, it's like their USPS. Like the... They would just send packages through like
UPS or FedEx or whatever. FedEx,
but yeah. They're like
privatized.
Yeah.
But you can't send letters anymore in Denmark.
Without,
because most countries have like the number of letters sent has decreased by like 99% since 2000. So it's just like not worth it anymore.
The fact that Grant is pulling legit stats, Denmark's postal service
is like 90% or something.
Denmark's postal service to stop delivering letters. Denmark's state run postal service, PostNord. Love it.
Ew.
Is to end all letter deliveries at the end of 2025, citing a... Grant, what number did you just say? Say it in the mic.
He said 99.
90%.
Well, he originally said 99.
And then he changed it to...
I think it's actually closer to 90.
Citing a 90% decline in letter volume since the start of the century. Oh, yeah. We're kind of a quarter of the
since
way through
the
a century.
Start of the century.
Bro.
Cool. I mean, the world keeps changing.
Does it feel like we're a quarter of the way through a century, or does it feel like things are just, we're just trying to not drown? Do you know what I mean?
I don't think in terms of centuries.
Me either, which is why when I read that, I was like, whoa.
I think in terms of decades.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because culture is sort of marked by decades. So you've got
fashion.
Musics and fashions and movies and who's
although
famous.
I think even that like cultural practice of marking things by decades is going to go away.
It's changing because it's moving too fast.
Because things are moving more quickly than they used to. Yeah. But yeah, interesting.
Could you imagine now dressing the same way for 10 years? Like people used to dress... Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. And one of my best friends from high school, Rachel, just sent me some photos of us 10 years ago in college.
Not dressed the same. No way.
And I would have told you, like, in my memory, I dressed well in college.
You mean college last year? Last year in college.
Last year when I was in college.
Last year in college, we just got out.
In my... just graduated.
Just graduated.
To this tough economy. Yeah. I would have told you that I dressed well in college, and boy, oh boy, were them outfits nasty.
Dude, bad, bro.
Boy, oh bro. Boy, were them outfits nasty.
But...
Thank God I haven't dressed the same way for 10 years.
But love looking back at a big swing. You know what I mean? Love looking back at, boy, you were dressed for the time.
This girl, she had on...
And when you say this girl and you gesture forward, you mean to gesture at
this
yourself?
This girl. That she girl. Had on... Something about that time was like tying something around your waist was cool to do.
Explain.
We all had flannels tied around our waist.
Oh.
We all had flannels tied around our waist with no leggings. Intention of putting the...
Leggings.
Leggings as pants. Wretched.
What were the shoes? Uggs?
No. Well, yeah, in high school, but no. Oh, Toms. No, but these photos were during my time where I had first discovered combat boots, but they were like tiny, skinny combat boots, like you'd put on a Polly Pocket. They weren't like chunky at all.
And probably not great leather digging into your calf vibe.
Of course. Yeah. Of course. And so there's a photo of me with tiny little skinny combat boots, leggings, flannel tied around my waist, and then also like a big shirt on. And I was like, both, dude. And we were like on a trip in our cute outfits, like taking photos. And I was like, oh, and I responded to the message of the photo of us by saying, why can't we be timeless?
Oh, it's impossible. You
can be timeless. No, it is possible. There are people who are timeless.
But were they timeless the whole time? You know what I'm saying?
Iconic, timeless.
You don't come out timeless. You earn timelessness. Are we timeless or is timelessness thrust upon us?
Are we human or are we timeless?
My signs are vital.
I wore leggings as pants.
And my shirts were tight. Tighter than they should be.
Around my waist.
I was definitely in the schmedium category in college. I was like, I am a medium wearing a small, extra small.
Right, because it made you look buff.
Huge. Made you look buff, dude. Made you look buff. Why work out when you can just make your shirt smaller?
When you could wear a child's medium to class.
Why work out when you can shop at the children's place? For real. For real. That was. Now my shirts are too big. I was getting styled for something today for my special. This will come out after the special, whatever.
Okay, flex.
Flex. I was getting styled today. Shout out, Melissa. What up? And we pulled. Yeah, what up, Melissa? Melissa at Molesy Mouse. And we were pulling out stuff from my own closet. And then I was trying stuff on that she had brought. And I was like, oh, this is different. This kind of feels different. She's like, yeah, because it actually fits.
Oh.
Because everything I wear is too oversized. Big.
I know. Yeah. And in 10 years, when we're still doing this podcast, we'll be talking about what we were wearing at this time.
That I was doing Billie Eilish cosplay between the years 2023 and 2026. I'm going to give myself, that was me giving myself another year to do it.
No, yeah, of course, because you can't afford to rebrand right now.
I can't afford to rebrand right now. I'm not in a good position for rebranding.
Totally, I think fair.
But I do think that me as dad, I need to be a little more agile, a little less material.
Oh, yeah, because babies be grabbing on this stuff.
Babies be grabbing, dude.
They be grabbing necklaces, too.
Babies be grabbing.
Earrings, hair. Back to the thing about letters.
Yeah.
I watched, if we're being honest, rewatched the critically acclaimed film Letters to Juliet on the plane 2 days ago.
Which one is that?
It's not critically acclaimed. It's Amanda Seyfried, and she's like, there's like this place in Rome where all these women write to Juliet, as in Romeo and letters wanting advice for their love life.
And then someone writes back?
There's this coalition of women that respond to the letters.
Okay, fire, actually.
Totally. I wish it was real.
Love it.
Amanda Seyfried's character finds a letter that was written like 50 years ago by this woman being like, I left my love, Lorenzo, and I shouldn't have, and I should have given this a chance.
Not Lorenzo.
They're in Italy, Gabe.
Oh, sorry. Hey, shout out to all the Lorenzos listening.
He's Italian. My bad, dog. Stop shouting my people bad. Out. Anyway.
My bad, dog. Hey, everybody in the comments, if your name's Lorenzo, give us a thumbs.
We literally have none. Anyway. So this is me explaining the plot of this film. Anyway, she writes back as Juliet and says something really beautiful about giving love a chance if love is real, you know, obviously, whatever.
Mm.
She writes back, it inspires this old woman to go find Lorenzo 50 years later.
Oh, beautiful.
Would you like me to spoil the end?
Yeah.
She finds him and they get married at his Italian villa and they're the happiest two people have ever been.
Who plays the old lady?
Someone gorgeous, like the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life.
Who is it?
I don't know. We can look it up, but
whoa.
And then Amanda Seyfried falls in love with her grandson on the adventure to go find Lorenzo.
Cute.
Super cute.
So Amanda Seyfried's just sort of doing, by the way, great vocalist. I've been seeing her do, some clips came across my internet.
She's doing like a Joni Mitchell thing.
It was like kind of fire.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
I mean, hot take. We didn't need the thing that she was playing.
You don't need me to mention again. Mamma Mia.
Well, this is what I was going to say is it sounds like Letters to Juliet is just non-musical Mamma Mia.
It's just Italian Mamma Mia, and which is why I love this film. I bring it up because...
Oh, we haven't talked about this on the podcast. Keep going. I'll hold it.
I bring this up because this will never happen in Denmark now.
Yeah, it can't happen in Denmark, but nobody, that's okay because it was happening
in Italy. Do you think they're going to fall in love just in person or digitally?
Yeah, it happens.
That's sad.
Well, I'm sorry.
Sorry to you folks in Denmark who aren't sorry, in love
Denmark.
Yet.
Denmark lost romance, huh?
Yeah.
They got no more romance.
There's nothing more romantic than a handwritten letter. That's for sure. What's the thing that you wanted to talk about on the podcast?
We'll circle back, Grant.
I also learned that... are guys from Denmark Danish or Dutch?
Oh,
No, they're Danish. They're Danish. They're Danish.
Commit to Danish.
They're Danish. No, because Dutch is Netherlands.
While you look this up...
Commit to Danish. You got it.
And then now that I realize that this is, I'm talking about the wrong country, so never mind. But guys that are Dutch from the Netherlands are the tallest men in the world, and they're so sexy.
And you know what?
Dutch from the
Netherlands.
You know
what they say about tall Dutch guys from the Netherlands? Big gloves. Mom, our mother's here sitting in the background right now. Which is the very first time she's raising her hand. What do you want to say, Mom?
We have a live studio audience. We have my wife, Lauren, is over there. Our mother, Andrea, is over there. The only other sibling who has yet to be on camera, Annie, is also over there.
And four dogs.
Mom.
It's raising her hand. Lisa Redgrave played the beautiful woman.
Vanessa Redgrave. Lisa Redgrave's older sister.
Right.
Yes.
I was thinking it was Lisa.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
She's
Vanessa Redgrave.
Right, nearly famey, an EGOT.
Famey.
Well, I'm not surprised because she has the most beautiful face I've ever seen.
Famey.
And like beautiful, intoxicating eyes as well. Really, Vanessa Redgrave.
Yeah, Vanessa Redgrave.
Nearly EGOT. Tony, Emmy. Perfect woman.
All of the everything.
And now she was amazing in Letters to Juliet.
We haven't celebrated this for you. And are you gonna participate in what I'm about to say? Because it feels like it's right up your alley. Literally, I had people ask me if you were okay when this was announced that Mamma Mia is coming back to Broadway this year. Did you know that? It's literally gonna be on Broadway again for the first time in like a long time. They're bringing it back to Broadway in August.
None of you told me.
None of these bitches.
What?
None of these bitches.
This is, honest to God, the first time learning of this.
Wait, really?
Yes. Back to... Really?
Yeah.
Do they announce who's going to be the
Jenny,
boss
Jenny
of it?
Kaplan, who you've met, I think. Jenny Kaplan texted me and was like, is Allie okay? And sent me the playbill.
Wait, August?
The playbill release. I think August, yeah.
Oh, you guys.
Mama Mimi. Hirikuruku.
August 2025, Mom Said, New York City. We're recording in the lobby of Mamma Mia, Broadway Revival. It's going to win a Tony. Wait, who's going to? You've got to get cast
that.
In that.
I actually
what
do
are the
that.
Odds? What are the odds? And really give me a stat. I get cast in that. What are
Mamma
the odds?
Mia, unfortunately low because I think it's already cast. But
already
I do love
cast?
That. I
were
do
they
love
rehearsing
that
Mamma Mia for 6 months? Broadway don't they all know the music already?
Here we go.
Tell me who's in it.
We'll return to the Winter Garden Theater, New York City, August 2nd to February 1st. Oh, it's a limited six-month run.
Whoa.
I don't know if they have a cast.
Yeah, not yet.
Wow.
They haven't found their star.
With casting to be announced at a later date.
That's because they haven't cast it yet.
We're all right. Hey, you've heard it here first. Hey, if the producers of Mamma Mia are listening.
And they are.
Why don't you go ahead and hit us up to play. Who would we play?
I would play the lead.
Who's the lead of that show?
Amanda Seyfried.
I thought Meryl Streep would be the lead of that show.
Oh, interesting.
I haven't seen the stage
enough.
Show. I haven't seen the stage show. Have you?
I have because KTB was in it at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh,
King.
KTB
where were you?
Was in it at the Hollywood Bowl.
I went to the preview.
Hell yeah. Wait, I've never seen the stage show, but so the lead is the Amanda Seyfried in the stage show or the Meryl Streep. And by the way, I feel fully comfortable taking up as much time about Mamma Mia as we need to in this podcast.
Of course,
because this is your territory.
This is my
so I want you to
only
feel,
hill to die on.
I want you to feel like you can spread your wings.
Gosh, I guess I would have to look at the call sheet and see whose name was on top. Because really, okay, now I'll say Mamma Mia 2 is all about the mama.
I was asking you about the show.
Right.
The stage show.
Totally. But now that you're saying like which one is the lead, I'm like, I couldn't actually name that for the movie either.
Meryl Streep, bro.
You think?
Yeah, bro.
It's not the daughter?
Meryl Streep's the lead of that movie. Any movie Meryl Streep
no,
is
no, no, no. I know
the
she takes
up
no, no, no,
movie.
No, I understand. I know she takes
and
up the most
the
space.
And also the story. It's her story.
Is it?
Amanda's the impetus. But it's her story about, it's like she's the one singing all the best, she's the one singing all the best songs now.
Slipping through my fingers all the time, I try to capture every minute, the feeling. You guys, thank you, no thank you, for not bothering to let me know that this was coming back to Broadway, but
I'm
so excited.
Did no one DM you? Did no one DM you this? Honestly?
No one did. But I'm so excited and I'm so happy and I can't wait to do Mom Said in New York City in August 2025.
From the lobby of the Winter Garden Theater. Hey, look, I do like this for us, actually.
I think it'd be fun.
Us getting into the lobby of the Winter Garden
we
Theater.
We could do that.
That's what I'm saying is like, how hard could it be? They would love it. It would be promo for them.
I really Speaking think they of, don't care. Like we wouldn't take up that much space.
They would definitely
like,
care.
We just need like two outlets. That's it. Literally.
All our project takes is about two outlets.
Two outlets. We could interview the cast.
Speaking of,
we haven't done interviews on this show yet. Like, we want to do guests at some point, right?
Right, but where would they sit?
Let us know in the comments what guests you want.
Yeah,
and be realistic.
Be realistic.
And just know,
be realistic.
Be realistic.
And just know they'd have to sit on either my or Gabe's lap. We'll ask them which one they're most comfortable with.
Until we get another swivel chair.
Another swivel chair and another microphone for that matter.
They have to sit on one of our laps. Be realistic.
We get off of press for
Don't Say Meryl Streep.
A Broadway show.
Yeah.
I would like to say that in New York last week I saw the same play twice.
Oh yeah. Your homies are in a play. Tell
us
about it.
It's called All Nighter and it's about the girls and it's for the girls. It was so good. Without spoiling too much.
You can't spoil anything.
Okay, without spoiling anything.
Thank you.
It's a play about five girls.
Do you want to do a commercial for it? I can underscore you if you want. This week on this week off Broadway.
Yeah.
In Nueva York. Why don't you come and see? Do you want that? Is that useful to you? Too bad it's happening. This week, New York City. Why don't you get tickets to the new hot play?
All Nighter. It's where five girls are pulling their last all-nighter in college, and mayhem ensues. It's a one-act play, and it's sure to keep you excited the entire time. Okay, I will say, I found this play really fascinating because it was a obviously dramatized because it's a theater piece, but dramatized depiction of what it's like to have really too close interdependent girlfriends. Mm. And I'm really into art pieces that legitimize things that are like considered to be frivolous, like female, girly, whatever. Mm. I think for so long we've considered those things frivolous just because they aren't male-centered. And this was an extremely female-centered piece that was so like painfully relatable as a person who's had those types of friendships and those types of groups of friends that I couldn't even believe how much I related to it.
It was like, it's like girlies in their early 20s, like
yeah, 22, college girls.
23.
College girls. It's like their senior year of college and they're just navigating like each other's neuroses and sure. friendships and whatever. And
sure.
there's obviously like a big thing that happens, but I just couldn't believe how I already understood them before they even started talking, these characters. Love I was that. Like, oh my God, that's so my experience. And then I said it to a girl I was with. Because the characters in the play are crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. And I said it to a girl I was with. I was like, wow, I can't believe how much I related to the characters in this play and related to how their relationship with each other. And she went, oh, really?
She was like, didn't see myself reflected in that. Didn't see myself reflected in any of that craziness.
Got me. Me found dead after she said, oh, really?
She said, oh, you, those whack ass people on stage, you felt like you were reflected
like,
in that?
She's like, oh, really? You and your friends are crazy like that?
Interesting. Interesting. Y'all are miserable and interdependent? Yes. Wow.
Yeah, affirmative.
And when you say a big thing happens in the play, do you mean like aliens?
Yeah, it's aliens.
Sick. Okay, everybody, check out All Nighter Off Broadway. Aliens, dude. It's freaking and then sick, bro.
Can I say this? I went and got wine after I went and saw the show with friends and ran into people I knew. And then another time while I was in New York, I ran into people I knew. I'm popular there.
Move.
Totally.
Totally. Move. You love it so much, why don't you marry it?
Can I tell you something else that happened to me while I was there, while we're on the subject of New York?
Sure.
I'm walking down the street. Feeling euphoric.
Why?
Sun in the sky.
Drugs.
I'm, no.
Okay.
Caffeine's a drug.
Drugs.
Sun in the sky. I'm headed to basically, I was saying to some friends the other day, a boutique hotel lobby hates to see me coming. Because I post up in the hotel lobby for the entire day on my laptop, tip, tap, tapping away. You can't make me leave. My ass is here for the remainder of this day. And I know y'all don't close because you're a hotel lobby.
Yeah.
And I know y'all will let me order 1,000 coffees. That's how it works here.
Anyway, so euphoric.
So I'm walking down the street feeling so euphoric. And I was walking downhill, which felt amazing because it made me feel like the wind was at my back. I turn to the side and I see a group of pigeons on the ground. A regular occurrence in New York City. And then I notice they're all really excited about something. As I get closer, I see what that something is. Someone had dumped a bucket of cheese balls on the ground for the pigeons to snack on. They were so happy, almost as euphoric as me, high off the bucket of cheese balls.
Hallelujah. We will remember this day forever. Hallelujah. We pigeons will remember this day forever. Hallelujah. We will remember this day when we were gifted all the cheese balls we could ever Anyway, that was a famous day in pigeon history. That I literally, what would that be for you? What would fall from the sky for all of you? What would fall from the sky?
Like me and my friends are just chilling, and then
someone like, way huger than you drops
dude,
hundreds.
This is exactly the plot of Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
It is Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
What would it be for you, Grant? Something way huger drops from the sky.
Raining gummy clusters.
Oh, bro.
And these gummy clusters, they're up to your knees.
Oh,
think about that.
I'm swimming in gummy
clusters. Swimming in gummy clusters.
That would hurt.
Okay, yeah, because if the nerds got bigger, the nerds would hurt, right?
Yeah.
I feel like the gummy would be fine, but the nerds.
If the nerds got bigger, the nerds would hurt.
If the nerds got bigger, the nerds would hurt.
If the nerds got bigger, the nerds would hurt.
That sounds like we're talking about an uprising of those that are not cool. If the nerds got bigger, the nerds would hurt. That's actually sort of happening culturally. Yeah.
If the nerds got bigger, they wedgie you back.
If the nerds get bigger, they wedgie you back. If the dweebs get bigger, they're on the attack. Watch out, the nerds get bigger and they swirly you back.
Swirly you back.
Couple gummy clusters at terminal velocity.
Okay,
and I'm out.
Can I specify? I didn't see the cheese puffs raining from the sky. They could have been rolled over to the.
But pigeons. Even big cheese puffs, there's a lightness. The density is different.
Totally, they're bouncing when they hit the ground.
The second you get a gummy cluster bigger, that's like
that thuds.
Because the ratio we're talking about is like that's the. It's even bigger than a beach ball.
That's gonna thud.
It's gonna thud, dude.
Yeah. Okay, so I have to consider that when I'm thinking about what I would want to rain from the sky.
But I do still think gummy cluster, just stay safe, like hide under a park bench or something for a second, and then come out and enjoy your life.
Hallelujah. We will remember this day forever. Hallelujah. Grant will remember this day.
Gummy cluster.
Okay, now yours.
I can't stop thinking about cilantro, but I don't think that's it. I don't think I want big cilantros. No, and I don't, and I can confirm that that's not what I want.
You don't want big cilantro? Wait, but you like cilantro enough that if it rained down cilantro to you, that would feel the same as pigeons being gifted cheese puffs.
I would be giddy. Huge cilantro leaves?
No, bro.
I'd put it in arrangements. It would smell so good.
Wow.
What if it rained Diet Coke and you could collect it in buckets and stuff?
Oh, and it stayed fizzy.
I was going to say. Because
we've arrived. Yeah. Ultimately, we have twice now arrived back at
Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Yeah.
But
what would be your
movie, honestly?
Al, do you want to celebrate real quick yours?
Hallelujah. We will remember this Diet Coke forever.
Cilantro forever.
Okay. I think... Lately, it's still Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, but I think lately, chicken wings, dude. I've been
What's
on a chicken wing
rub?
Kick. Lemon pep.
Okay, big lemon.
Lemon pep.
Okay, just think about. Okay.
Lemon pep. Stop.
I agree on lemon pep, by the way. I'm not poo-pooing
that. Okay, that's
that.
Literally my favorite food. Specifically, lemon pepper wings are my favorite food.
Yeah, but bro. Think about a chicken wing being huge.
Interesting.
That's
it does
gross.
Sort of become pool floaty sized in my mind, yeah. Which I don't really like.
It sounds disgusting because that would have to come from a big chicken.
But would it still be crispy though? If it's still crispy, I'm okay. First of all, real quick, can we just celebrate mine?
Hallelujah. We will remember this chicken wing forever.
Okay. But will it still be crispy? Do you get what I'm saying? If it's crispy, I'm cool. But if the bigness makes it sog, I'm out.
If the bigness makes it sog, I'm out. Totally.
For the listener or viewer, I haven't spoken to Allie in 7 days.
No, literally.
Maybe longer because...
We're both so busy with work right now that we only talk here.
I've talked about it already. I'm in San Diego. She's in New York / LA. We're never talking.
We're never talking.
We're never talking except when I... called you. Why did I even call you?
Because you were trying to get a hold of Lauren.
I was trying to get a hold of her.
It wasn't to talk to me. Yeah, I was happy to have been with his wife.
She was having an East Coast baby shower that I missed.
Yeah.
Absentee dad.
Can I say...
He didn't like absentee dad. Can you say? Sorry.
I had tons of bagels in New York as well.
Jealous.
And I could do with a big bagel.
Dude, bagels. But wait, didn't we talk about pretzels, soft pretzel being better than bagel?
And
how do you feel that now?
I stand by that.
Even after a New York trip?
100%.
No way.
There is nothing.
That's blasphemous for
blasphemous.
Sure.
Blasphemous.
Really? You feel like you prefer bagel to soft pretzel?
Not even close. Soft pretzel is like, it's one of those foods that's still around because of amusement parks and it just has that aura, but they're not actually that amazing.
I agree, except for the problem is even a bad bagel is good, but a bad soft pretzel is bad.
Correct. Dude. And bagels are versatile.
Yes, bagels have more versatility.
We have cream cheese. We have salmon. We have bacon, egg, and cheese. Oh. We have butter. We have jelly.
Oh. Soft would pretzel, you, say bagel?
You only get in one specific time, and it's maybe cheese, maybe cinnamon sugar.
Maybe a little bit of mustard.
Oops. Bagel is Q-tip. Soft pretzel is tissue.
Hold on. Say it again.
Bagel is Q-tip. Soft pretzel is tissue.
Yes, because soft pretzel has more charm and levity to it. So by your definition, if we're to continue.
So it makes sense that I would be attached to the soft pretzel and you two would be attached to the bagel.
Of foods.
Exactly.
And bagels are utility knife. They're incredible. You can use them in any
way. A utility knife! Period.
Oh, God.
Hell, you had an alcohol story?
Oh, my gosh.
I also... Oh.
It's more about New York. I was there for 10 days, so that's all I've got.
Fun fact after your alcohol story.
Wow. STEM podcast.
One of the nights I went to a play started at 8 p.m. Lauren and her mother warned me that I should eat something prior to going to this play. They even ordered me potato salad. I worked up until it was time to go to the play and ran out the front door, leaving the potato salad in the lurch, untouched. Goodbye to this potato salad. But I feel fine.
Sorry to this man.
I go to the play. The play ends. I get in a car and go to a dinner reservation that's at 10:30 p.m.
Unacceptable. You and your friends. Hey, Allie's friends.
Stop. Don't talk to them.
Allie's friends.
Don't talk to them.
Have dinner.
They're busy.
Earlier.
They're busy.
Allie's friends. Have dinner earlier.
Stop it.
Go out to the bar.
Don't talk to them like that.
Earlier.
Don't talk to them like that.
Go out to the bar earlier.
Stop bothering them.
Sleep.
Shh.
Sleep.
Anyway, we have a dinner reservation at 10:30 p.m.
Gosh.
I show up to my dinner reservation at 10:30 p.m. and start dinner the way anyone would start dinner, by
bread
ordering
in the bowl
a dirty gin martini.
That is not it. If I'm starting a dinner at 10:30 p.m., it's starting with an ice cream sundae and it's ending right there, and I'm going back to bed. Because I woke up at 10:15 to go to this dinner at 10:30, have just a dessert, eat it, and get the hell out of there. Because that's way too late.
I don't understand.
To do anything.
Anyway, I order a dirty gin martini. I drink, generously, I would say 7 sips of this dirty gin martini. I am
fazoozled.
Oh, in a way I don't think I've ever been in my life. Gone.
Dude, New Yorkers though, New York drinks and New
them
Yorkers.
Them drinks?
Strong.
I looked at the waiter and I said, you're trying to kill me.
You're trying to kill me. Here's the thing though. LA, you got to drive. New York, you just have to barely see the subway sign and get on the right train. So they don't have the same
horror
rules that we have.
Of horrors.
Grant?
Are we aware that a gin martini can only be one strength?
What do you mean?
It's just gin.
Dirty.
Okay, so there's like olive juice and whatever.
So I ordered a dirty gin. I know. I ordered it and vermouth. I ordered a dirty gin martini. Well, okay, they brought it to me not dirty. With a crystal clear martini.
And usually a glass of gin.
And
you said, stink this up.
No, I was like this. It'll be fine. And I took a couple sips of it. Gone. This girl's gone. And it was a sushi dinner, so we ordered some pieces of sushi. I ate some pieces of sushi. Girl, it's over.
Gone.
It's over for you, girl.
Yeah. That sushi is down in your stomach, fighting for its life
and losing
to try to sober you up.
And losing.
It's in there like
and losing.
It's in there like
it didn't stand a chance.
The gin is in your bloodstream like adios.
Yeah.
It's just like she's gone.
And you know, you get to a point in the night where people are like, she'll have another. And I'm like, whoa.
Okay.
Anyway, I go to this bar to dance. It's all 80s music. I'm lit. Living on a platform, shaking my hair around, living. Uh-huh. I text my friend, come out. She does. She gets to the bar. I look at her.
What time is this?
Doesn't matter. I look at her.
What time is
and
this?
And she's like, girl, what is wrong with you? And I said, I didn't eat dinner till 10. And mind you, I know I sound like a crazy party animal. I really am not like usually in this way.
Hey, Allie's friends.
Stop talking to them.
Go to bed.
I don't want to talk to you.
Go to bed.
They don't want to talk to you. And also, they're not listening. Anyway.
But they are watching the clips.
Maybe. Anyway, I see my friend. She's like, girl, what is going on? And I said, girl, I didn't eat dinner, really. And she was like, okay, let's have a party. Let's have fun. Let's dance. Mm-hmm. We danced for like 10 minutes. And I said, girl, this is the city that never sleeps. There's got to be food somewhere. We got to go find dinner.
More food. For real. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now it's like 2:30 in the morning. And I'm like, I need to eat dinner.
2:30 in the morning eating dinner. Unacceptable behavior.
Burger from a deli.
Meanwhile, you're 2:30 in the morning. You're trying to get a burger from a deli. And you know what I'm up to?
Yeah, but who has more to write it?
Yeah, my Ebenezer Scrooge cap, the little tassel on the end is.
Who has more to write in their journal the next day? That's what I want to know.
You.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And that's my priority. Anyway, all that to say, that was my crazy night. And it was all because I forgot to eat the potato salad that was sitting in the fridge. So for you kids listening at home.
That your sister-in-law and your... What is your sister-in-law's mom to you?
Your mother-in-law.
My mother-in-law.
Yes.
So you would say my sister-in-law and my brother's mother-in-law?
No, I would say my sister-in-law and her mom.
Touche. Yeah. Okay.
Or I would say my sister-in-law and her family.
Okay. And that was way simpler than how totally. I thought it was going
to my sister-in-law,
have.
You made it you-centric, which it didn't
well,
need to
Well, you
be.
Made it me-centric. You no, said that's I your said, mother-in-law.
She's your mother-in-law, but she's not my mother-in-law.
Which is then I said...
Even though I wish she was.
Okay. I have one story to tell.
Wait, Grant had an alcohol stat.
Oh, Grant has an alcohol
stat. That was the whole
stat.
Reason I told him my martini story was to give him leeway to do science.
I would have to find...
Oh, we have to...
I would have to find the reference to this. I have no idea if it's true or not. So everyone take it with a grain of salt. Of course. Of course. But we'll play a little game with it.
Okay.
What percent of Americans do you think have less than one drink on a weekly basis?
One more time.
What percent of Americans do you think have less than one drink per week?
Less than one drink a week.
Hmm. Yes.
What percentage of Americans? Are you going to give us multiple choice or we just have to
throw out
a percent?
No, just throw out a number.
I think, so if I say a low percentage, then I'm implying that most of America has more than a drink a week, right?
Yes.
So the lower the
you're
percentage.
You're making this way more complicated than it
no,
needs to
I'm
be.
Trying to understand.
You know what's funny is I stopped listening. Like I was just sitting here like spacing out thinking about something else.
Because you immediately understood what percentage you wanted to say?
Yeah, like 5%.
Okay, well, some of us need to repeat information so we can understand it deeply instead of just tunting out.
Some of us have high cognitive function.
Okay. I'm going to say that the percentage of Americans that drink less than one drink a week is 3%. Allie?
I said 5.
This is amazing because the answer is about 60%.
Whoa! So what? more than half of America doesn't really drink that much
at all, basically.
Wow, is that true in other cultures?
I don't know, but here's where the interesting part comes in: the relationship between this. So, like, the first decile, second decile, third decile, fourth, fifth, and sixth are all less than one drink. So, like, the top, you know, the 60%, whatever.
Uh huh.
Then it starts to go like this, exponential as you get closer to the 70, 80th, 90th decile or 9th decile.
Uh-huh.
How many drinks per week do you think the top decile of Americans drink per week? That was repetitive.
Drinks per week.
Now, I will preface this by saying I'm not 100% sure if this was Americans or American drinkers. I'm pretty sure it's Americans. Anyway.
I think 20. I think we're looking
20
at
20 per week.
20 a week. I think it's like 3-ish a night. I think that's like what I think it is. You are so fucking tuned out. It's unbelievable, bro. You are in a different planet.
Do you want to know what's going on in my head?
You already drove home.
Do you want to know what's going on in my head?
You drove home.
I was like, I said this. I don't know what they're talking about, but Gabe just said 20, so I should say 19 or 21.
Yeah. More of the question?
Literally.
How many drinks per week do the heaviest drinkers in America drink?
Oh, I'm going 21.
74.
Whoa, I won.
By Price is Right rules, only barely. She played Price is Right on
74?
Over 10 drinks a night. Because think about it. If you're a heavy drinker on the weekends, you're having 20 beers.
You
day.
Are?
20 beers?
You're talking to a girl that got drunk after like 6 sips of a martini. So
I think a lot of people don't understand how much. Wow. And that's also, think about that. That's also reported numbers.
Right. Things people are willing to admit.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, but what I thought was interesting about this is that if the usage curve for a given product or whatever is exponential on the deciles, that means it's an addictive thing.
Yes, that makes sense, because the more you're into it, the more you're into it.
What as do opposed you think to a steady
social media has a has an exponential usage curve.
Oh, yeah,
what
yeah,
a
yeah.
STEM podcast.
So, what do you think is the usage curve for Nerds Gummy Clusters?
Similar, bro.
They're probably similar.
The once you
in
have
general, yeah.
The snack that smiles back, once you pop the top that don't stop. What is that?
The top that don't stop.
That was
stop?
A Pringles one at one point.
But
we love to see you smile.
Anyway,
we
everyone should do an drink ad- less. That's all I'm saying.
Everyone drink less.
Totally.
Because the more you drink, the more you drink. Unforge.
And the more you gummy cluster, the more you gummy cluster.
Yeah, but I'm very pro that. Okay, I just would like to tell my one story, which is a little bit of a confession, and then But before we do that, we do need to do a weekly thing that we do, which we have yet to do. But do you want a little song about it?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of? Oh, not that. What do you want?
Can someone want? Collect my dog? He's like just walking around the court.
You collect your dog. Scoop him up.
Okay, I'll scoop him.
And then do what we need to do.
Okay.
Come on up, Doodoo.
I got him. It's the moment where I disappoint one of my brothers by ranking them 1 and 2. One always has to be 2, and 1 will be 1. They fear this, 'cause I hold all the power to decide who is 1, 1, and 2, 2.
1, 1, 2, 2, 1, 2, 1, 1, and 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Ranking
of the brothers this week.
This week.
The top brother is gonna hold. Whoa.
Here's what's happening. Can I guess what's happening is you want it to be me and you're trying to make it be me, but your whole spirit is rejecting it. It's rejecting it. You're trying to say this week is Gabe.
What's happening?
This week is Gabe,
and
you can't even get it out.
I'm like choking on my words.
It's like bad acting at the end of a play when someone has to say they're sorry for the first time and some terrible actor's like, I'm so.
Yeah, but it wasn't
That's
acting.
Literally what you were
it
doing.
It was getting stuck in my
It was
throat.
Getting stuck in your throat because you can't let me be the
unbefucking leaveable. I literally was sitting here being like, I have to think of a reason why it's Gabe, and I do have a reason why it's
Well,
you.
It doesn't have to be me because now it doesn't feel as good.
No, it's Gabe.
Okay.
And the reason that it's Gabe is because he did drive up to Los Angeles to do this with us.
I did do that.
And
as soon as we're done with this, I'm packing up and driving back to
San Diego tonight. And it's late.
And I did it for you guys, but I also did it for the listener and the viewer.
And they're so grateful.
They're so grateful.
The viewers are also listening.
So true.
The listener and the listener
viewer. Imagine watching our podcast on mute. Just the two of us,
wild. Just us, like sort of swiveling a little bit back and forth in these stupid chairs, and then just me playing like an ugly Beethoven.
We should post a clip where it's one of the episodes condensed down to like 15 seconds.
Like when they do the B movie condensed down to 15 seconds.
Yeah. Or when like a fox decomposes in the woods or whatever, and it's like,
ew, what?
You've seen it.
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, thank you. That is a real thing.
That was so creepy, Gabe. What do you mean watching a fox decompose?
Fred Armisen does an imitation of it in his live show, and it's really funny. He does an imitation of those like time-lapse decomposition videos. Anyway, okay, here's my little story.
It sounds like it must be a thing.
It's I did get ranked number one this week, but
it didn't feel good.
It doesn't feel satisfied because you...
I didn't want to. And you knew it.
So we were talking about this. I was reminded of this because we were talking about... I was talking with someone about swag and like... Not swag like Justin Bieber.
I think he means swag like merchandise. Like
merch.
Stop. Why do we laugh every time Grant presses
just my, I don't know.
One this is my three yes buttons.
And no. This is yes and his no. We were talking about merch, and it reminded me that 10 years ago, probably exactly 10 years ago, when I joined the Book of Mormon, they gave me the show, not the religion. They gave everyone that year onesies that were like,
wait, remember when onesies were like the thing?
Onesies were the thing.
Yeah, people
mustaches,
had
onesies,
adult
the whole deal.
Onesies. Yes. And everyone thought they were hilarious.
Oh,
for that.
Oh, hilarious. So they gave us onesies that were like gray, zipped up. It said Book of Mormon on them, and it had like elder, whatever. And then it had,
whoever made that decision is a sicko for real.
And then they had, a little tie. The onesies came with a little tie that had two button snaps, so you could snap a little tie on it if you wanted.
Chat, there's something fishy about that.
This was my first week at the Book of Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And rest in peace, Gavin Creel was a part of that.
Sweet boy.
He was my hero. So I was like...
He is your hero.
Yeah. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm here at this cool show. I got given this merch. My hero is here. This is amazing. My life is changing forever. This is fantastic. One of those kind of moments.
Yeah, totally.
So I put on my little onesie and I'm just going to wear it backstage because everyone got them that day, but the rest of the cast is on, but I'm still rehearsing. I'm not in the show yet.
So you thought you'd wear the onesie?
So I thought I'd wear it to be cute and fun.
Uh-huh.
And then I unbutton one of the buttons, unzip the thing, because I have to go pee. So I'm backstage.
I'm worried.
And I'm standing there and I'm peeing. And then on my like second day at the Book of Mormon, I'm peeing in the little toilet and the other snap goes and my little tie goes.
No, falls in your tinkle?
Falls in my tinkle.
No.
Falls in my tinkle.
Not the little fleece tie in the tinkle.
My little fleece tie fell in the tinkle and I panic. I panic. I'm in my own dressing room, but I am sharing, but the other guy is not there for some reason, whatever. So I panic and I'm like, I don't know what to do. So I pull my little tinkle tie out of the toilet.
No, you!
What am I going to do?
Leave it.
Flush it?
Flush it.
I'm not going to flush it.
Flush
that. I want these people to think I'm cool. So I pull
my little... What, so you carrying around a tinkle tie is cool?
No, so I pull out my little tinkle tie and I immediately go to the sink and I cover it in hand soap and I wash it and I squeeze all the tinkle out of it.
Boys are stupid for real.
I make it happen. And then I drape my wet tie over like the like costume rack in my room.
Please tell me no one touched it.
And it's clean at that point.
It's noit.
But then I spent the whole show, the whole rest of that evening and the next day, just kind of walking around the only guy with no tie on his little onesie, hoping that no one would go into my dressing room and see my dripping tinkle tie.
No!
So that was my first experience ever trying to be a cool guy. And we'll tell another story of mine of each time I try to be cool, I'm humbled.
Can I tell you though?
Tinkle tie?
Can I tell you though? Had the tie never fallen in your pee and stayed totally dry and around your neck, you still would have been a huge loser.
Would have been a big loser. Here's the problem. I wouldn't have known.
Right.
I wouldn't have known.
No. And it's God trying to protect you from yourself.
Amen. And since the tinkle tie fell in, it is one of those, I will always remember the tinkle tie. I will always remember. Thank you so much. This has been another episode of Mom Said.
Wait, is it over?
We appreciate y'all listening. Grant's rolling his eyes. Do we need to talk more? I have nothing more to say.
Then we're done.
then we're done.
I'm sure I have stuff to say, but I'll say it after we cut the cameras.
Thank you guys so much. We are really thankful that people are enjoying the show and people are listening to the show. We're creating a little community online.
This is so fun.
It's been really fun. Thank you for all the messages that you've been sending. We check the DMs on the Instagram and on the TikTok, and we try to reply to all the comments online or on the YouTube. I sound like a boomer.
No, you really
do. We try to reply to all your comments. I'm going to get to all your comments.
I've been telling everyone how a couple weeks ago on an episode, you said every time the Kardashians drop a new Instagram post.
I said that because I was trying to get to a punchline that made sense, and you didn't let me. And
I know you're mad.
Sure,
but that was really
on my way
like,
to a punchline, but I didn't even get to the punchline.
Well, that's not my fault. That was really bad.
Literally your fault.
No. I have to call those things out.
Waiting for the Kardashians to drop a new Instagram post on the thing.
Like literally.
This week's Instagram updates, I was scrolling through and I noticed that my niece had posted something from her graduation. I didn't know how to like it. I double tapped it, but I must have triple tapped it because it liked and unliked and I couldn't undo it.
You know what Grandpa said to me? Grandpa was like, "You keep sending me pictures and not telling me what they're from."
And what do you mean?
What is he talking about? Then I'm realizing he's talking about my Instagram posts.
Oh, he's
and I'm not saying like
them.
This is me at the whatever. I'm just like posting.
You're just posting.
He's like, stop sending me pictures and not telling me where they're from. I was like, honestly, fair.
Respect. Yeah. He's like, give me context.
I'm not clear in my Instagram posts.
Not all of us are clued into what's going on in your dailies. Right. Oh my gosh.
Talking about how you didn't tag the location or something.
Maybe he thinks I'm sending him the photo, but yeah, I'm not tagging location. Obviously, because I don't want to be murdered.
Maybe that's what he's mad about.
Yeah. I'm not tagging the location, and I'm not. The captions don't say like me at my
but maybe he thinks you're vibing and he wants to know what bar he can go to.
Obviously he knows I'm vibing and he knows I know all the cool spots he wants. I'm gonna have to text him just on a private thread.
We should find the photos. We'll talk about this on a Thanksgiving episode someday, but this last Thanksgiving Grandpa came and my favorite photo from Thanksgiving is Grandpa alone with was it a pumpkin pie?
Yeah, he ate his own pie.
A pumpkin pie just taking bites out the middle.
Mom
dude.
Said, "I made this pie for you." And he said, "Say no more."
yeah. This will be mine. This will be mine. And then I think Dad tried to take a bite of it and Grandpa looked at him weird.
He was like, don't fucking touch my pie.
She obviously said this was my pie.
Yeah. Anyway, goodbye.
Thank you so much for listening. We really do appreciate it. We really are grateful that we can be a part of your day. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
We gotta go.
We gotta go.
Over me.